Welcome to High Velocity Business Radio. This is Sander Bean in for my show with Desiree Scales. And Desiree's not with us today, but Kevin is. Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing good, Sander. It's great to have you in the studio.
It's a totally different world out there from a week ago, isn't it? Based on the snow, and now it's like...
I know. That's two shows we had to cancel because of snows. You picked the wrong day.
Yeah, I know it. I mean, it's... And actually, we probably could have made it on Tuesday, but we weren't...
Everyone was too scared.
No one was taking a chance. Last week was total shutdown in Atlanta, but absolutely not the case this week, and lots happening in Atlanta, as we'll hear about in a minute. We have a great guest today with us. Van Baird is with us and from Relational Equity. And Van, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. I'm excited to be here, finally.
Yeah, it's great to have you on, too. So, Van, thanks for joining us. Van Baird, for our listeners, is an entrepreneur. He's been involved in financial services since the 90s and ran a State Farm franchise. Still runs a State Farm franchise. And Van, tell us, how does a State Farm franchise, you know, you think of sort of a very traditional, very something that we all know and have seen for many, you know, all our years of our life. How does that turn into something innovative and new?
Yeah, let's answer that quick so your listeners don't like tune out because they just heard insurance being talked about on your show. I have been in the financial services industry for a while and got started with Northwestern Mutual way back in the day. But when I had an opportunity to open this agency, I just didn't want to do it the typical way, which is direct mail, mm-hmm. internet leads, you know, kind of a call center mentality. And so we chunked all of it and said, we have clients that are paying us premiums already. Why don't we just spend a lot of time just loving on them? And we found about 17 of our clients that were pretty well connected online. And so we just went real heavy in social media and leaning more towards social listening. So whenever they were putting information out, we were just harvesting that data, important stuff, you know, beyond birthdays and anniversaries, but life events, jobs, careers, nonprofits that they liked, things that that meant a lot to them. And we responded whenever they put something out there just to show, you know, hey, we care about you and we're about what you're about. So, I mean, the average insurance client hardly ever has a claim. So, you know, to have an agent that was active in promoting what they were about was fairly unique, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something. I mean, I consider myself an insurance nomad. And, yeah. For that exact reason, I never end up having a relationship with the agent. That's really what you were fostering and doing it in a way that wasn't invasive to the person, something that they dealt with every day, which was social media.
Yeah, and they were sharing their lives. And, you know, in a digital world, content is king. Mm-hmm. And as businesses and as brands, we want to put information out there about us and our content. But without a client, without customers, we're nothing. And so we're at Relational Equity, we just try to get businesses and brands to realize it's your client's content that you need to be paying attention to.
Right. Now, I want to get to Relational Equity, but before we do that, I want to make sure that we tell our listeners that this is more innovation you're going to be getting from Van Baird and the Relational Equity team, pushing us here at Business Radio to use Twitter more effectively. Van, can you tell us what we're doing with Twitter today?
Yeah. In ahead of the event that we're a part of this Saturday at Kennesaw State University, mm-hmm. it's SoCon. So connected, but that goes by SoCon, and it's the Southeast's longest running social media conference, and it's put on by the Center for Sustainable Journalism at Kennesaw State, and so we're going to talk hopefully as much as we can about them today. And so if there's a hashtag that we can have you guys track along with, it's SoCon, SOCON 14, SoCon 14. And so as you're listening, as you hear, we're going to be talking hopefully a lot about the speakers and what's going to be going on that day. And if you have questions, use that hashtag. And then we're actually going to later on give away a discount code for one of the Platinum VIP tickets, which you can't get anymore. So one, we're going to make sure you can get a ticket, but then we're also going to give you a chance to have a discounted price on it.
Well, that's awesome. I'm looking at the Twitter feed right now, and I already see a gentleman on here who is saying, BSteve76 is saying he's just booked himself into SoCon for February 22nd.
Nice.
So that's our first. Let's see how many more we can get during the time that we have together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so let's get back to relational equity a little bit. So sure. you were in the phase of the story where you owned a State Farm franchise. And you were using social to keep in touch with people. What happened? What was the result of that? And how did relational equity come out of that?
Yeah, so we kind of cut the traditional marketing cord in October of 2012, and we were going to give all of 2013 to just kind of see how it worked out if we just went full on 100% referral based and 100% social media based in marketing. And by the end of January 2013, we were quote unquote everywhere. We would run into people at church. We would run into people at dinner parties. And like, we can't log on without seeing your name attached to a friend of ours and what you're doing with them. And it wasn't insurance. It was just, hey, here's what that friend's all about. And so we got some immediate results from that. And we started with those 17 people. But we took all of last year to really, really just give value until it hurts. If I'm a disciple of Jesus for my faith, I'm a disciple of Gary Vaynerchuk for my social media. And
give till it hurts.
Give value until it hurts. And so, you know, we just did. And it was we think from an altruistic standpoint, it really wasn't a marketing scheme. It speaks more to my personality. It's social media makes it so easy for us to help others. And in a city like Atlanta, where there's so much social good going on, I think people gravitate toward that pretty naturally. So it took off for us, and we had business owners that were asking, what are you doing? And so about June of last year, we popped open another LLC and started Relational Equity. And we've got a team of three of us right now, but we're hoping after Saturday we're going to need to hire a few more. But but after SoCon.
Yeah, absolutely. So tell us, so Relational Equity, who are your target markets? Who are the people, like, who have you been working with so far? Who do you hope to be working with? Where do you see this fitting in from an overall ecosystem?
Well, it's easier to say who it wouldn't work with, which is hardly anybody. I mean, when you consider the relationships you have personally in your life and what it took to cultivate those relationships from a business standpoint, if you're in sales, B2B, if you're in sales, you know, whether it's customer facing, you know, because of my faith, I would love churches to adopt this more.
Keep in touch with people to keep bonds together.
You know, social media can be your new greeter, you know, at the door. I mean, I don't check anything out before I go to a restaurant or wherever I'm going first. I'm going to check a church out first and see how they connect relationally. But service industries, Keller Williams Realty. We work right now exclusively with the Community Partners office in Cumming, Georgia. And we're hoping to expand with them because it's such a fit. You sell a house and you might not ever see those folks again, but if you love on them and you're engaged and they talk about you and you're top of mind for the next house that you're going to sell or buy, or you know somebody that's going to, you're going to refer.
And that speaks to referrals. So really a lot, I mean, that's not the only thing, but that seems to be a big core. How did that work for you initially? What'd you learn? And then in what way are you, and what are you telling people to do in order to build those referrals?
Well, we've developed a system of data mining at the micro level, and we joke. We really don't want to see it more micro than us. That would be creepy.
You know what's going on with people.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not like we're hacking into anything. People, we're digital. We're all going to be connected within the next 15 years. You know, digitally. And so as we share our lives, we just are very intentional with leveraging what you put online and sharing with the public. And so, you know, we look for that data to kind of harvest and give to you as a business owner, give to you as a salesperson, and say, hey, here's the life events that they've talked about this week. You know, put it in your CRM, you know, make a tag for that later, or you can hire us to do everything. We can track them and then also quote unquote love on them by doing the thank you notes, doing the touches, buying the gift, you know, sending them two tickets to a Falcons game or, you know, whatever, just like really remember you based on what they're posting online. And it's in that stream. It doesn't ever feel weird because you've got that relationship and, you know,
it's already there. That's something and really all you're doing is cultivating and keeping it going.
Right.
It's fascinating because I think that, you know, you look at a lot of what corporations do as far as social media goes, and they're trying to get a singular thing. They're trying to get a like or a follow,
right?
So, and then from there, say, all right, well, you're part of the clan, and then it's all about them
right.
talking, and not the other way around.
Exactly.
What you've done is turned that straight on its head, and it's all about like what the client's doing.
Right.
And then the company basically conforms to those life events and those things that are happening.
Exactly. And it resonates because I think we have all, as just a created being, have a desire to be loved. Mm-hmm. I think it would probably be number one. And then, but right behind that, the feeling that you get when you do something for somebody else, whether right. they know you did it or not, just that you were able to help, you were able to lend a hand, you were able to make somebody happy and feel like they matter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the customer loyalty on the micro level. Big brands are going to talk about it on a bigger level, you know, as far as, well, Nike's going to own their customers because they're brand loyal. Mm-hmm. But to get down to where you understand what those clients are going through on a relational level is a little bit different.
Right. I mean, a lot of what I've been reading in 2014 is that, you know, social media is just becoming another space, another advertising space. Mm-hmm. And I totally disagree with it. I think that I go right where you're going with this, is that it's a way to have a relationship with people. Now, certainly if you want to, you can spend the money and make sure that everybody sees your brand, and it's just kind of like any other medium that's out there.
Right.
But I don't believe that that's really unleashing or harnessing the power that you can ultimately find inside of it.
Yeah, and I think that even the phrase social media is going to change. Mm. We're just social.
Yeah.
And it's online, and we're going to be connected in that digital world, and it's coming faster than I think most people want to realize.
Yeah,
for sure.
So tell us a bit about you mentioned before the great community that's here in Atlanta. I can't agree with you more. I'm glad to have met you, to have joined this community myself in the last 6 months or so.
Yeah.
But just tell me a little bit about the social community as you know it here in Atlanta.
Yeah, I've been so surprised, and I've got a friend of mine out in St. Louis who's kind of, we were on the phone this week, and she goes, there's just something happening in Atlanta when it comes to, whether it's a younger generation, you know, I'm going to be 44 this year, but, you know, you see that with students coming out of college, they're not necessarily all about the almighty dollar. They have a sense of social responsibility, and you see that a lot. There's going to be a guy that's going to be a keynote speaker this Saturday, Blake Canterbury with B Remedy. And he's harnessed that power, you know, reaching people immediately to fill a need. And it just, it's pervasive. And, you know, there's startups, there's meetups, Creative Mornings Atlanta, things like that, where people just have a different bent for why they get up and do what they do every day. Mm-hmm. And it's just very, very pervasive in Atlanta.
Yeah. And we were talking earlier before the show about some of the, you know, you look at the headlining news of what's going on in social media. Tell us a little bit about that Arby's thing. And
wasn't that cool?
Yeah, that was awesome.
And he's a local Atlanta boy.
Yeah.
The guy behind the Arby's tweet, and again, to keep plugging SoCon,
yeah,
he's actually going to be doing a breakout session on Saturday. And we booked him before that tweet went out about, is it Pharrell? Pharrell's hat. But it was bigger than the Oreo tweet, bigger than the Oreo moment at the Super Bowl. You know, and so to see that, again, it's social listening. You can do it on a lot of different levels. We do it on the relational level. But to see a company that says, no, we know there's a big event going on that we can tap into and connect with people on a different level. And the Grammys were going on that night, and he was, you know, he was Johnny on the spot, you know, creative, funny, memorable. And then to see how that thing blew up was really cool. And to know that he's going to be at SoCon this week is just a plus for us.
Yeah, there's definitely Twitter, and then there's doing Twitter properly or doing it well.
Yeah.
And it's a big jump, and you know, to put a personality into just a few characters, and also to be able to say something, to be relevant, and have the right timing. It's really not easy.
Well, but I think people want to make it too hard too, and not realize it's just a conversation.
So that's the way that's how you approach it, is just get in there and have fun.
That's the rules. There aren't that many rules. So yeah, get in there and kind of get your feet wet.
Okay. Sure. So we're talking about having fun. Let's bring this all the way full around to SoCon a little bit. I'm sitting here with out of the corner of my eye, I'm looking at some of the tweets that are coming in. We'll have to
get some multitasking.
Yeah, sure. Well, we'll have to get some shout outs here. But tell us a little bit about your role with SoCon, how it all started, what's going to happen this Saturday, and how people can get involved.
Yeah, and the website is socon14.com, and they've got a Twitter handle, SoConEvents. And you know, if you're keeping up with the hashtag SoCon14, all that information is going to be out there. But it's this Saturday at Kennesaw State. And we got started because a lot of the guys behind the scenes, not everybody, but the majority of the ones that are responsible for the event, speaking of social good, are connected with a company here in Atlanta called Hive Atlanta, like a beehive. Hive Atlanta, and their logo is No Lonely Leaders. And so they put on this thing called a gathering event a couple of times a year. And we, our team at Relational Equity, found a niche in kind of catering to VIPs at an event. So because of our way of tracking folks online, when folks signed up to be a VIP for them, we got to work harvesting data and finding out what they were really about. And so when they showed up that night, everything was geared toward that individual, not just for them as a group, but individually their swag bag, what they like to eat, what they like to drink, who they were about, you know, what they were about. So all their swag bags were geared toward them. And Caitlin Absher of Revive Bath and Body, when she opened all of hers up, she goes, "My life is in this bag. This is amazing." And so because they're running the behind the scenes at SoCon, they hired us to love on their platinum VIPs. And so it's a costly ticket, but we think it's going to be well worth it in that you get the VIP parking, so you got your own spot. You get side stage seating, so you're carved out for the best seat in the house. And then we get to take care of you all day long, so you get a special text number to text us if you're hungry, you want Oreos, we'll get you Oreos or a coffee or whatever within limits. And then those platinum VIPs actually, ahead of the conference we sent it out this week, get a list of everyone that's attending, and we're going to try and broker a couple of three networking opportunities for them to meet one-on-one with another attendee that they've been trying to meet since they're going to be there anyway.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, so that's how we got connected with SoCon, and then some of the feedback they got last year was that the keynote panel that they had last year was great, but there was no small business representation. It was very corporate. And so they asked me to be on that panel this year. So I'm just there to get coffee for those guys and Blake and James and Jennifer. And so but I'm really thrilled to be a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. It sounds like it's going to be a great day. Now, I do want to mention that the folks back in your office, Van, are saying, "Smile, Van." Well, I have to tell you, because you can't quite see it through the microphone here, but he is smiling. I'm vouching for him. I think Kevin can too.
Maybe, I might be in my too serious voice. Sorry.
Excellent. So non-for-profits, that's another group that we talked about earlier that can benefit from this. Tell us, because this is a fascinating one for me, because I don't know a lot about the non-for-profit world, but what I do understand is that their biggest concern and biggest issue is that people will give. They'll give 1 year, they'll give one time.
Right.
And then the question is, how do you get them to keep giving in a way that makes sense for them to a cause that's important? Mm. Because sometimes, you know, it's a moving target for us. We'll give to one, you know, to a cause 1 year, then next year it'll be something else. And it almost seems like you get so much in the mail and it's a lot of waste, and you're wondering where those non-for-profit dollars are going. And they're not really building that relationship. They just continue to ask the same question.
Yeah, it's a struggle.
Yeah.
For sure. And, you know, the ones that we are, you know, kind of arm in arm with, like Feed the Hungry for Scythe, Fellowship of Christian Athletes in Cumming and Dawson, you know, they have that same conversation, like, how do we keep the money coming? And if I've got the choice of who to buy Girl Scout cookies from, and one's my daughter and one's the neighbor's kid, I'm gonna buy from my daughter because of the relationship, and I love her and I want her to succeed and be well. So if you have donors, and you know, I think again, any nonprofit's going to struggle with this, is that as they give, it's that one touch and you might be done. But to invest in them throughout the year and touch them literally, figuratively, socially throughout the year, and show them that you care. You're not with a handout. You're deepening that relationship, because the first question we get when we're in negotiations with a client is, what's my return on my investment? And our counter to that is, how do you measure that in a relationship?
Yeah, what's a relationship worth?
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, if you can't give this approach a year, what relationship, solid relationship, do you have, whether it's friends, family, coworkers, where you gave it a week or a month and, oh, it didn't work out? No, the ones that are solid, the ones you stuck with, and you invested time in them, they invested in you, and you cultivate those relationships over time. And so through the power of social media, we help deepen those relationships. So from the nonprofit world, it's kind of gold in that, you know, as long it comes down to time and the follow-up, and we'll do it for them. But it's that constant being aware of what's going on in their life so that when an opportunity comes up to give, they don't think about it.
Yeah.
They love me, and I want to help them out.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, it's funny because, you know, you think about marketing campaigns, and a lot of people think about the things we're talking about today in terms of like a marketing campaign, even a non-for-profit, like, all right, it's the end of the year or some big thing is coming up that will affect the cause that you're giving to. And maybe somebody's even offering to double the money or to match the money if, you know, from what's being given from one period to another. And it always feels a lot like a marketing campaign. So it's something that's going to just happen once. It's going to happen for a short period of time, and then it's over.
Right.
And I'm sure from the perspective of the organization, they're looking, okay, well, what are the results during that period?
Right.
And it's not about what are the results in the long term? Like, how do people see us differently now?
Well, and we're not wanting to replace all that, right? But there's definitely a place for it in addition to what you're doing. And, you know, we've had some conversations with companies like that. Where are we going to find those dollars to invest in the relational equity approach while still maintaining what we've been doing? And it's such a nice dovetail in that where it's not a marketing campaign, where you have people talking about it naturally. The VIPs at the Hive gathering last time went away talking about it to their friends, their coworkers. They tweeted about it. They put it online, how they felt walking away from there. We saw that in the feedback that we got. And so there's a natural, when the next Hive gathering comes around, they don't even have to ask, hey, can you talk about us? They're going to naturally do that because of the way it resonated with them.
Right.
And so in a business world and a nonprofit world, keep doing the marketing. I'm not saying stop that, but how deep can you go with certain key influencers, key customers, key donors that they need to feel really, really special?
It kind of goes back to where we started, which was with your franchise, trying to figure out how do you keep in touch with the most important customers and the ones that were connected.
Oh, sure. And, you know, for whatever reason, we've had people gravitate toward us that are already really connected online. So it makes it that much easier.
Yeah. You start there for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, zoom us back here to the SoCon again. How do people get involved with these Hives? Is that something that can come out of a visit to SoCon this weekend?
Well, those guys will be all around for sure, but they've got a gathering that's coming up soon, and I can look that date up. But they're just kind of the ones behind the scenes, and they're more than happy to be influencing this conference because they have that entrepreneurial, all of them have that entrepreneurial mindset. So SoCon's for entrepreneurs, it's for big businesses. Fortune 500 companies come. We're kind of excited. The mayor, Kasim Reed's social media team, is doing a breakout session, and you know they got scheduled, and then after they got scheduled, there was the Braves moving. There was
Snow Jam.
Son of Snow Jam. So all that happened. So they're going to be there. That'll be kind of cool. And I think Taylor on my team will end up sending out where you can track all of the breakout speakers. She'll be tweeting that out because as people have signed up to be breakout speakers, we've been tracking them on a list on Twitter. So we'll make that available here in just a second.
Yeah, that'd be great to know because I'm sure people will, especially if you can't make it for the whole day, well, what part could you drop in for? I can't imagine what it's going to be like to hear from the people in charge of social media for the mayor's office,
right?
Given everything that's gone on.
Yeah, but you know, to start the day, it's a panel discussion, the keynote panel. There's a list that we'll be putting out as well, but I think we've lost our internet. But the connection there, Blake Canterbury with B Remedy is a local guy, done well, and so he's going to be there. James Andrews, who is, if CNN has a social media question, they call him. He is amazing. And so he'll be up there. He's one of the most connected guys I've ever met. And then Jennifer, I think it's Kite, is a radio personality here in Atlanta. And there's one other, and I feel bad that I can't think of his name off the top of my head. But again, I can't pull it up on them.
Mine's come back up. I just logged off and logged back on, and I'm seeing all sorts of great information popping up here.
Yeah, Nick Ayers. Sorry, Nick. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nick and I haven't met yet. We just traded some stuff on Twitter, but he's with Intercontinental Hotel Groups and so handles their social media
awesome.
For them. And so, you know, it'll be a good spectrum of, you know, how to use social media to influence the business sector. And so that'll be to start the day. And then all throughout the day are the breakout sessions. And there's some really unique ones. I want to say there was some social media F yeah marketing is the name of the title, which got my attention. You know, I'd love to see what that's all about. But it's a great lineup of people that and companies and how they use social media. A friend of mine, Jason Dominey, who just left Engage, but he's going to be talking about how do you take a 2D relationship that you have online and make it a 3D one. So from 2D to 3D, and that's his hashtag.
All right. Well, let's that's got me wondering right now.
Yeah, and he just gets it as far as, hey, yeah, social media is one avenue, but let's make this a real connection.
Yeah, I agree. I think that people look at it sometimes social media is just as one thing, and that's where I specialize and that's what I do. But I agree that there's a lot more that goes to it. And even in a digital way, one of the things that I've been talking to my clients about, and I'm sure this is something you see as well, is that, you know, there are blogs out there with organizations that help industry groups, et cetera. Those are areas where content, listening, all these kinds of things can play in as well. And they're not Twitter. They're not LinkedIn.
Mm-mm. No.
Yeah.
So how do you find them? You know, how do you integrate all that? And some folks just don't get it. And that's fine. But, you know, whatever they are sharing, how do you cross that bridge or use that to bridge the relationship? Because I don't know how many LinkedIns I've gotten, you know, just wanting to meet for coffee, and I know what that means.
Yeah.
You know,
here comes the sales pitch.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, just how are we going to connect relationally? And so Jason will do a good job with that.
Well, let me give a couple more shout outs here. We have TR Wilhoit, who's giving us a shout out.
He's the man running the event.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. He's saying all the cool kids are doing it. oh, excuse me. That was Atlanta JMF, is also saying all the cool kids are doing it. And, continue to retweet the on that SoCon 14 hashtag the web address to register, which is great.
Yeah, and we've sent that out from our Twitter feed as well, Relational EQ. But so all the registrations, all the speakers, all the panelists are going to be listed on our Twitter account. Yeah, and as far as going back to the Platinum VIPs real quick.
Tell us about that.
I'm kind of looking forward to we've got a guy from UPS that's coming. He uses social media to recruit employees for UPS.
How cool.
And Rocky Chancellor, he said he was going to be listening today, so maybe he'll give us
Rocky, if you're out there, give us a shout out with the hashtag SoCon14.
Yeah, but we're going to look forward to just making him feel special when he comes in. But if you want to be a Platinum VIP like Rocky and you want a discount, if you'll just, I guess, use the Business Radio X handle and use the hashtag VIP, then we'll pick one after the show to give the discount to.
All right. So you heard that. And make sure you mention the handle for Business Radio X, easy to find. And then the hashtag VIP.
Yeah.
That's how they're going to be choosing this year's winners for the
We'll give the discount
for the Platinum discount.
It closed last week. It's not even, you can't even get it anymore, but we'll make that happen for at least one person today.
Yeah, and I think it's the way to go, because really, not only do you get a lot of cool little bennies, but also the ability to really integrate into the program by meeting people.
Right.
And you're giving the opportunity to do that with the VIP.
Yeah. One of the tweets that you were reading was from the Atlanta Jewish Music Festival. AJMF.
Yep.
The director for that particular nonprofit actually walked around SoCon last year with a sign that says, "I'm hiring." And so, I mean, it's a great way to network. You know, if you're looking to hire, if you're looking to get hired, you know, I've got some students that have just graduated from college. They're asking me, how do I get into social media? Like, you need to
come to SoCon.
Come to SoCon and volunteer. I think they got a lot of good volunteers that way as well.
All right. So great. Let's make sure we've gotten, I've talked about everybody. Your fine folks back in the office who are running the relational IQ or EQ, handle, or making sure that we're on track here, putting the panel names and the people of the panel on here. Jennifer. You mentioned Jennifer earlier. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting her. I mean, she's been in radio. She's she leverages that to do a lot of good with her guests and getting. And her, I like her platform a lot. So I'm looking forward to meeting her face to face.
Okay. And how about Nick or Blake?
Yeah, now Nick and I, I'm looking forward to meeting with him as well. Just, and he brings that corporate approach to how like a big company like Intercontinental Hotel is using social media. So that'll be great. And then Blake, just a local Atlanta boy that did good and saw a need and went after fixing that need through social media. This is just a great story. I mean, he's been featured on CNN. He's done TED Talks. He's been invited to speak at that. And he's just such a down to earth guy that, and all he wants to do is, what's your need and how can we help? Mm-hmm. That Be Remedy style has now, taken off in other markets, and they just got a lot of big things that are coming up really, really soon. So the timing might be good for him to be there talking about where Be Remedy's going as an organization, because they did a Kickstarter campaign last year to help them go nationwide. So hopefully that's coming really, really soon.
Awesome. Well, it sounds like it's going to be a really fun Saturday, a packed house. And has it been growing? I mean, what have you noticed? Has there just been because you've been going for several years now to SoCon, right? Or
so this is actually, I missed out last year, and mm-hmm. I've only been in Atlanta a few years.
Oh, okay.
And so with the Taylor Sear, who mm-hmm. is doing all of our live tweeting right now, she was actually the one that got hired by Atlanta Jewish Music Festival last year. With the Hive connection and knowing that SoCon was coming up, I looked through last year and was really bummed that I missed out. They had some great keynote speakers and the breakout sessions were so good. And the cost is, for what you pay and for what you get, it's nothing. To spend a day hanging out with some really cool people that get social media, that are trying to push the envelope as far as how to connect.
Excuse me.
And make money.
Yeah,
using it.
Well, we've been pushing the envelope today here, I have to say. Hopefully, we've been making sense because we've been sitting here staring at our laptops, which is what people do. Like during most of the meetings that I'm in,
right?
And they tend to make some degree of sense, but I'm hoping we're doing just a little bit better than that and keeping a relationship with our audience who's actually out there listening. And one of the things I love about Twitter, I don't know if this is something that you like about Twitter, but is the ability to have something going on and side conversations happening where people are meeting each other, finding things that they agree with, maybe things that they don't agree with, but having all those conversations going on while a group of people or panelists are talking. It's just a great way to instantly share your thoughts and to also instantly capture some of the sound biteable quotes that you hear. And that's another thing I love about Twitter is the ability to like get those quotes straight out of the mouth and onto the paper.
Yeah, there's actually people that make money doing nothing but live tweeting conferences. Mm-hmm. That's what they get paid to do. And it's not a bad gig when you can get it. but it's just that. I mean, that's just where we are as a society. We're digital. We're connected. So to be in a conference like that, it's not rude to have everybody looking down. Maybe with Google Glasses, that'll all change.
Yeah, they won't have to look down anymore.
Right. But, it's just, I think it's a very cool medium for a generation that's coming up. And I hate to use, generational stereotypes, but the younger you get, the easier this, it just is. You got to make a concerted effort the older you get, but to be completely stereotypical.
All right. Rocky says, thanks for the mention over at UPS Jobs.
Oh, good.
You're welcome, Rocky. Anytime for the shout out. I'm looking forward to seeing you at SoCon on Saturday.
Yep.
So, Vin, tell me, if you will, you have some teenage daughters, correct?
I do.
And so tell us what you must have an opinion about this generation. Why? Like, what's different? How it's the same? What's universal? What's changing? Give us your insight.
Yeah, I've got to be careful here. That's a running joke.
Are they listening in?
Well, no, I doubt it. But some of the people that I work with, they get spoken to a lot, that generation. And, yeah. And after a while, that just gets old. And, there is the ability to be heard and not be spoken down to. And they have some of the best ideas coming out that I've ever heard. And it seems like they don't get the attention they deserve. And they do get pigeonholed and they get stereotyped and as being Gen Y's or whatever. And, not to get on too much of a soapbox, but I just hope they get the platform that they deserve because they do have such fresh ideas. They do think differently and they think with their heart, and which is what I think we can all benefit from long term. But yeah, my daughters, they have no idea what to do with me. You know, with knowing social media. I mean, when I got Pinterest, it was a black day in the Baird house for them. But you know, it's just a great way to connect. So you know, anything I can do to leverage other people, anything I can do to elevate companies that, and it doesn't take much for me to like you. I mean, if you're not out there, you know, killing puppies, I'm going to be about what you're about. For the most part, and I just to that generation. I mean, they're more apt to jump in and just help and not ask the whys, and that's exciting to see where we can go, you know, with social media, with nonprofits, with social good, and hopefully that gets talked about a lot this Saturday at SoCon.
Yeah, I hope so, because I think that's one of the interesting things about the social world we live in is that things are happening in real time,
right?
And I think, you know, that, like you said, that characteristic or quality of just wanting to jump in and say, where do I row? What do you want me to do here? I can, yeah, you know, move this over here, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Not, without having to feel like, man, we have to have this completely figured out in advance of going after it. And, you know, I think, and that's what relationships are, right? I mean,
right,
they're every day, every way, with the people you love and the people you care about.
Yeah. And that's why I'm kind of ready to get past, you know, digital being the Wild West. You know, mm-hmm, social media being the Wild West. I think it's just, it is what it is right now. And it's the way we connect. It is the way we relate. And so that it, there can be kind of a norm and things can get done, I think, quicker, for sure. And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to when we get kind of past that, the fear of social media.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, do you believe we're hitting that tipping point now? Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. You've seen.
Every day. You know, yeah. When I work with realtors that are in their 60s, and they get frustrated because nobody's talking, you know, online. Mm-hmm. All right, you're getting it. You know.
There's nothing in my Twitter feed today.
Like, right, right. So they get it. They know about, you know, what it means to connect. And I just think, I don't know what the new buzzword will be, but I don't think social media has got much more legs.
Okay, so for people who are driving or, you know, God forbid, in some way they're not attached except by listening to the Business Radio X channel, what is the web address that they can go to again?
For SoCon is socon14.com. And there's the registration page there on the right. Tickets are still available, really up until the event.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't quite sold out yet. So now would be a good time to go on there and get your ticket for that. We're at relationaleq.com is our web address. And you know, I'm always taking that coffee though. You're right. I mean, it's fun. People ask me what I do and I get paid to drink coffee. And just
you'll bounce ideas off anybody.
Absolutely. You know, just how can we help? You know, if you're about, you know, something that's important to you and we can help, you know, hopefully we can help you get there.
Right. So it's not just referrals. Sometimes people do stumble onto your website or through things like this, they hear about you through SoCon, and then they just come to you and say, "We got to talk."
Huh? Yeah, I mean, and why not take that 5-minute meeting? You never know.
Absolutely,
you never know. So,
excellent. All right. Well, anything else you want to add before we close it out here today? Are there other things we need to touch on?
Yeah, get your SoCon tickets. You know, and check that whole event out. I know they'll be live streaming that day, or live tweeting that day, I should say. So if you can't make it, there will be a hashtag to follow on Saturday as well. And, if you log on before Saturday, you'll see all of our hashtags from today. So that's not a bad thing. Yeah, if we can help out at all, connect with us. You know, if there is a social media platform, you can find us pretty easily. So, but just a quick Google search and we'll pop up.
Excellent. Well, Van Baird, in charge of Relational EQ, thank you for being here, and also, looking forward to seeing you at SoCon this Saturday.
Yep.
And thanks once again. Take us out here, Kevin, for Business Radio X, High Velocity Business Radio.
All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Excellent.